Okay.
So,
okay, what I want to talk about today in Kiva, we'll do a little combat it through a little bit of blunders. Is the question of how we say what we say in Tefillah. Because one of the things that one of the things that I think bothers some people in Tefillah is why do we need to say things in the way that we say them? Right? I mean, we talked about this a little bit in that question and answer, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And the Rambam is Mechadesh, something that David will like. And I want to try to figure out where the Rambam got it from. The Rambam tries to answer this question. Why do we really care about how you say things? So, in addition to what we've talked about, that we after Karbanot, we moved to more formalized tefillah, taking some ideas that already existed. He writes as follows. He writes in Halacha Gimel and Daled, "Mayor Ragil Marbe Betchina Vakasha." If you are eloquent or capable of talking, so ask for a lot. And if you are you're not eloquent, so speak as much as you can, whatever you want to. And daven as many times as you want. Some will daven once a day. Some a lot. Always daven towards the mikdash. That was what you did from Moshe until Ezra. And then, but after the Galut of Bavel, the Jews were spread out in the whole world. Yeah. You'll like it today, Zev. We're doing Lamdus that will lead us back. This is a Rambam share. So he said, so once we went into Galut, so we were scattered to all the different nations, and we had children, Votana Banim Nitbalusvatam. And they got their language mixed up. So now, if I stop right there, what would you say? What is the next word supposed to be, right? He's about to introduce why we have tefillah, formalized prayer. He's talking about being in other countries. What should the next line be? They spoke different languages, and therefore what?
They didn't know Hebrew.
They didn't know Hebrew, right? So Chazal had to come up with a gear. It's not what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, the problem wasn't they didn't speak Hebrew. The problem was that they spoke Yiddish. Right? Was that the languages that the Jews did speak were themselves not pure languages. Everyone spoke a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Right? They spoke Yiddish, which is a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of German, a little bit of this. They spoke Yeshivish, which is a little bit of English, a little bit of Yiddish, which is itself a conglomerate, a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of whatever.
English,
right? English, which is a composite of a little bit of this and a little bit of that. 1 second. The Kevan Shayam Midaber Eino Yachol Daber Kolzer Kobloshon Achat Ela Bishibush. And therefore, people became incapable of articulating their thoughts, ki, hu, ze, in a single language. Right? Not just Hebrew. In any language. Right? Any real language. Shenemar. V'neim chatzi midaber ashtyodit v'gomer. V'neim akir midaber yudir chosham v'am. U'mibnei zek shaya, achad mehen mitpalel, tiktar l'shono, l'shol chavatzav. So when people would daven, they would speak very, they would say it very succinctly. Ola gitshoach kodesh baruch hu l'shon ha-kodesh ha-ravu yimah l'shono n'acherot. They would try to do it and they'd, a little bit of Hebrew, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of whatever, right? The Kevan Shara Ezra Vedino Kach Amdu V'Tiknu Lehem Shmona Esrei Brachot Allah Say There. That was the final straw. Shmona Esrei. Right? And then he goes on. Three praise, Bakasha, we'll come back to that. Hold that, right? The structure as we know it. Now, I want to do two things in this shir. One is I want to figure out where the Rambam got this notion from, and the second is what is the import of what he says. Okay, let's start with the second. What is the import of what he says? At least what I think. And this, the Rambam, I put it to you in the title that I called the share, right?
We all have to have to dive into the same language, essentially.
He doesn't say that. Right. It's not about the same language. Let's be careful. No, the Rambam doesn't say we have to dive into the same language.
No, but
What do you mean by same language?
You said that it seemed like the people couldn't all speak in one coherent language.
You just said two things. Coherence. It's coherence. It's not what?
All right.
It's not that everyone... Sometimes people talk about formalized prayer that The point is that we would daven like everybody else.
No.
The Rambam doesn't say that. It's that.
Oh, it has to be coherent.
Internally coherent and not even coherent. It has to be?
One language.
Yeah, what? No, it doesn't have to be Russian Kodesh.
It has to be one language.
Be very careful.
Language has to be one language.
Right? Yes, it has to be, or in English we'd call this, eloquent. Right? It has to be highfalutin. Right? It has to be one language. Why? First philosophically. Yes. Yes.
Actually, I would say that when that... It seems like you would say a natural language. Does that mean he only accepts, like the original 70 languages?
Yes!
So is that...
Yes!
So I guess by extension, your knowledge is dominant English.
Yes!
Modernly.
Hold your thought. First philosophically, then we'll get to the halachic point. Philosophically, what is the Rambam... Now, why would you say this? Why is eloquence important? Why is formal language important? Why? Why? Before you get to that, it's a good question, but why? Why? Why?
Because it's respect for the king.
Thank you. Right? Is that... I think the key is that if you conceptualize tefillah only the way... Right, I think the Rambam is introducing something very different than what most people think of. Right? If you think that tefillah is my chance to talk to God and have a conversation with God, so the answer is, who cares how I talk? Right? When you focus on, let's say, the mashal of God is my parent, so who cares? Kids use bad grammar, they don't use grammar at all, they point, right? You know, your pre-verbal kids, they point at the cracker they want, you give it to them, right? Right, like all the Hasidic stories that you hear about this, right? Which I hate so much, right? These antinomian stories of more important than davening on Yom Kippur is the guy who doesn't know halacha, who shows up and plays his flute on Yom Kippur and doesn't realize that it's Asur, but he's just, his heart is there. No, that works only on one half of our understanding of what tefillah is, which is God and human beings interact as parents and children. But there's another component, which is that we interact with God not just as parent and child, but as king and servant. And once you remember that tefillah and any interaction we have with God is mishulav, from the emotional, you understand that you're our parent and you are our king, suddenly you realize that there is a level of dignity and respect that has to come into tefillah. Right, that, yes, even if God understands you, including if you speak in yeshivish and whatever, it doesn't matter. Right? The Rambam is mechadesh, and this is extreme. Now, we'll see in a moment what the Rambam says is extremely extreme. Really extreme. Right? But the yesod philosophically of what the Rambam says, I think, is clear. He just takes it to a degree that I don't think other people do, which is that part of tefillah is this royal petition, and therefore eloquence is required, and therefore you can't just say whatever you want. And the Rambam actually argues that one of the reasons we end up with formalized tefillah is because people became incapable of being eloquent, not in Lashon HaKodesh, in any language. Now, Yosef, attack me. Go.
What do you mean by eloquent? For example, a quick problem. Was considered eloquent English forbidden because English was not...
So the Rambam's clear. What is eloquent? Right? What does the Rambam think eloquent means?
Not
pure languages. Pure languages.
So is that valid English? Is that valid?
So now you'll tell me, now we get to Lamdus, and then you'll tell me, so Yosef, you'll tell me, wait a second, it's a Mishnah Mifureshet, that you're allowed to daven Bechol Lashon. What doesn't that point to the other dimension of tefillah? And I'll tell you something shocking.
I was actually going to argue that.
Oh, well, that would be a really good question, right?
I'm not going to say necessarily your Greek is pre-Israel. I'm going to say Mishnah seems to assume like Greek is at some level good language, but
great.
According to my I'm just not going to trust
the Rambam. Explicitly says Greek is a great language, but we don't know pure Greek, and therefore you can't use the Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam is pretty consistent on this point.
Okay, fine.
Now,
okay,
you'll tell me, right? So I think this is the philosophical question at play, right? Which is, if you say that you can only, right, that you can only dominate a very formal language, that's that you focus on the side of tefillah, which is the royal petition. If you are very much in that, it doesn't really matter what you say, how you say it, just pour your heart, you focus on the other one. The problem with the Rambam is, now the Lamdish problem. What's the Lamdish problem with the Rambam? I already just said it. Yes.
In tefillah, do we ever use a present tense Hebrew?
Yes.
But there does not seem to be a present tense in Tanakh, therefore...
Do we actually?
We say Shat instead of Asher. Asher is like a more older biblical way of saying it.
Okay.
Therefore, if we did,
it appears sometimes. It's not
what?
Incorrect.
What?
Right. It's not incorrect.
But I don't think it appears anywhere in the Chumash. It's not incorrect. It was a later development. It was a later.
You never have a Shat.
Okay.
It said it was a later development.
Okay. Now, there's a big problem with this Rambam, though, right? And I want to solve two problems, and I was glad that certain Achronim came to this conclusion as well. Solve two problems at once, okay? And here's the following. Is that the Rambam, if I asked you, are you allowed to daven in English, what would you tell me?
Yeah.
No, if I ask you right now, not from the Rambam, if I ask you, what have you always heard growing up? Are you allowed to daven in English?
Yeah.
Yes. Why do people think that crazy thing? I already told you why people think that crazy thing. Because it's the Mishnah. It's the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah says you can daven b'chol lashon. Right? That's why people think that. Guess who never quotes this halacha in all of Mishnah Torah? Thank you. Hint. Oh, yes, it does. Yes, it absolutely does. Because look at number two. Right? This is, I gave you not the Bar Ilan version. I gave you a picture. It's a Mishnah. Elu na'amarin b'chol lashon. Parshat Sotah, Vidui Maaser, Kriyat Shema Tefillah. These are part of the list of things you can say in any language. The Sotah thing, Vidui Maaser, but just look at the last two. Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. Now look at the Ein Mishpat on the side. What? Are there more? Yeah, over here. Look at the Ein Mishpat. Right? The Ein Mishpat quotes where the Rambam quotes things. So, where does the Rambam pask in the other halachos? Oh, actually, I cut off the top of it. The answer is yes, right? Each one of these, the Rambam paskins. But look at Dalid, the one by Tila. What does he quote? Only the tour. Because the Rambam doesn't quote it. The Rambam ignores a Mishnah. Now, he paskins every other halacha in that Mishnah. Right? But he doesn't paskin this line in the Mishnah.
That's really strange.
Oh, it is really strange. Good. So, you have two options. You can either say...
He forgot about
it. Right, which would be weird because he paskin every other line in it.
Or he specifically didn't include
it. And why would he specifically not include a Mishnah?
Because he doesn't hold by it.
Well, good. Why wouldn't he hold by it? What does he need to not hold by it? The Rambam doesn't just get to do that.
Right.
What?
Contradicting Mishnah or Brayta.
Correct. The Rambam has to understand that there's a contradicting source. Right? And it's this I wanted, right? So this is what I came to the conclusion of. And then we'll get back to this halacha. Because I think the truth is going to be the Rambam doesn't ignore this halacha. The Rambam rewrites this halacha and explains to you why he doesn't paskin like it in the halacha we just read. Because I have two problems with the Rambam. One is he ignores a Mishnah. The other is he makes up a history that has no evidence in Shas that the reason we have formal tefillah is because lack of eloquence in any language. Right? And the argument that I finally found in several Achronim is that the Rambam thought that those two things, right, answer each other. So that's what we're going to do. Okay, this is going to be a lumdish here, but I want to get to the philosophical point that underlies it. So, the Gemara continues in Sota. Why are you allowed to daven in every language? And this is, again, this is why I think this is a philosophical point, right? Why are you allowed to daven in any language? Why should you be allowed to daven in any language? So what? Say it slightly differently. Thank you. Good. That seems to be the Gemara. Look at three. Right? This Gemara appears in two places. Tefillah. Oh, sorry. I'll print more. It's fine. So he says, Tefillah. Here, Zev. Read the Gemara, Tfila, while I print out more.
Tfila, Rachmihi. It's Rachman. It's asking for mercy.
Good, Viv. However you want to daven, you can daven.
Okay.
Right, so the Gemara now introduces the justification for this principle, which is... Right? This is what we all would say. Why are you allowed to daven in other languages? Because davening is about a conversation with God, about asking Him for what you want, and therefore, however you want to daven, daven. Right? That's how we read it. But then the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Lo'olam Alishal Adam Tzrachav B'Lashon Aramit. How are you allowed to daven in any language? You're not allowed to daven in Aramaic. I'm not allowed to daven in Aramaic. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan called Shoal Tzrachad B'Lashon Arami Ein Malachei Asharet Nizkakin Lo. Anyone who davens Aramaic Malachim don't pay attention to you. I want to bracket the theological question of why they don't understand Aramaic and why we're davening to Malachim at all. Maybe we'll get to it, but let's bracket it for a minute. Lefish Ein Malachei Asharet Makir B'Lashon Arami. Because the angels don't understand Aramaic. So the Gemara answers, hello, Lokasha, Habi Yachid, Habit Sibor.
The angels probably don't know this because there's it's in Aramaic.
Whoa, one second. Okay, there's a difference between Yachid and Sibor. Good. Now, let's, again, this is going to be like a lumdish here. Let's do this very carefully here. When the Gemara says, you cannot daven in Aramaic, what does that phrase mean? Give me the options.
It could mean specifically Aramaic.
Good. One possibility is it only means Aramaic. Or it means any language that's not Hebrew, just most people were speaking Aramaic. That's a possibility too. What else? It might mean even Aramaic, which was the language which is closest, is a cognate of Hebrew, and even that you can't, right? Or it means
only language, that you can speak languages that are very different from Hebrew, but not ones like Aramaic that are very similar.
Or David, what might it mean? Yes, you can't speak Yiddish, right? Arami was the Yiddish of its time. It was a conglomerate language, right? So the possibilities here are, it means you can't daven in any language but Lashon HaKodesh, either, and Arami is either chosen because it's the closest to Hebrew and therefore it's a Kal Vachomer, or because it was the vernacular, right? Or Arami means only Arami because for some reason Aramaic is hated or not understood by the angels. Or it means not pure languages. Theoretically, you could daven in pure languages, but not Aramaic, Udi'ime. Not Aramaic, not Yiddish, not English, not Vechula. Okay?
Was it not pure language?
English.
All languages.
Yiddish.
Any language?
Most languages.
All languages are not pure.
You see where I'm getting with this? Hold that thought, right? Hold it. What? Only if it's on this point.
Yeah, I was saying that. You see?
More sources printed for people who want. Guys, Gabi, there's more sources that I printed.
Do you mean like language will say the peasantry is spoken, or do you mean like it's mixed?
What? We'll see. We'll see. Okay? Now, whatever that means, Lashon Arami, the Gemara says, but you are allowed to daven in whatever that thing is, Bitzibur, whatever that means. Yeah? We're good? Okay, fine. So then the Gemara says, really? Vein malachei shart makirim lashon arami? Do the angels not know Aramaic? Vatanya Yochanan Kohen Gadol shaman baskol mibet kochei hakadashim shu omer nitzcho tal yadaz lelegacha kravel antiyocha. Didn't Yochanan Kohen Gadol once hear this message coming out of the Kodesh Kadashim, which was in Aramaic? And then my Shimon HaTzadik had one, etc. And these were all Aramaic, right? That's the point. I don't want to get into the details. Skip two lines from the bottom. Uvuloshon arami haya omer. Iba Yezema Baskal Shiny, Dilashmoy Avida, Iba Yezema Gabriel Ave, Damar Marma, Ba Gabriel Velinder Shivim Lashon. Gemara has this very strange answer, which is either it's a Baskal, which you're only listening to, it's not like going back to God, it's just you're listening to, or it's Gabriel, and Gabriel took the time to learn all languages. Gabriel is particularly, right, Gabriel is the European Malach, right, he understands all languages, and the rest of Malachim are Americans, okay? Fine, Shrine, they only understand Hebrew, okay? Good. Now, what does this halacha mean? What does Yachid Sibur mean? What does Arami mean in this Gemara? So there are basically three shitot in the Rishonim, okay? Skip for a moment to the Beit Yosef, okay? Beit Yosef quotes this Gemara, and he quotes the three shitot that you have. Katav Harif, second line. In the second line, number 6. Bereish perek haya korei, v'hadiktani tfila b'chol hashon, hanimilei b'tzibor. Avo b'yachid lo, d'amar av yudamarav, l'olam al yishal adam tzracha b'lashon aramit, v'amar av yochan kol hashol tzracha b'lashon aramit, ein malachei asharet nizkakin lo, l'fish ein malachei asharet makim b'lashon aramit. The Rif says, what do we learn from this halacha? The Mishnah says you can daven in any language. The Gemara's introduction of the qualification of Arami qualifies that Gemara. Okay? Is it only about Aramaic or any, or all languages?
All.
All. Right? He clearly understands Aramaic is all languages. Right? So he says, the Mishnah says you can daven in any language. And that is limited to? That's limited to Tzibur. Yachid can only ever daven in Lashon HaKodesh. And what does Tzibur mean? What does the Rif mean? Who can daven under what circumstances in a language which is not Lashon HaKodesh? Yeah, the simplest understanding is only Chazaras HaShatz. Right, the simplest understanding of the Rif is the only thing, ironically, that's allowed to be in another language is Chazaras HaShatz. Maybe the Rif means that if you are davening with a minion, your Tfilat Yachid can be in another language. But Pashtut, of the way the Rish Arm understood the Rif, was this is not true. Right? The simplest understanding of Tzibur means not Tfilat Ima Tzibur, but Tfilat HaTzibur. Only Chazaras HaShatz is allowed to be in another language. This seems to be how the Rish Arm understood it, though I can't prove it. Okay? That seems to be how the Rambam understood this in his youth. Right? Like the Rif, not surprisingly. Right? If you look at 4 in the Perash of Mishnayot, HaTfila Tachanon Mitchanein Adam Bechol Lashon Bemed Var Mamurim B'tzibur Aval Yachid Mishna Del Ma'ot Shalo Yitbal Al Hashem Ela B'lashon HaEvri. Now there is a word we'll have to come back to, which is that Yishtadel, hold the thought of Yishtadel, but fundamentally that seems to be what the Rambam thought. Rabbeinu Yonah, possibility 2. Back to Beit Yosef. Katava Rav Rabbeinu. By the way, part of the reason I know the Rambam doesn't pass in this way is not because I'm a bucky in the Rambam, but neither the Beit Yosef nor the Ein Mishpat thought the Rambam passed in this way because they don't quote him, right? So that seems to be a tip-off. Rabbeinu Yonah. Came and dasikt in the tefillah b'yachid in an emeret ebel lashon hakodesh tema hu aminak shenag b'chol olam sh'anashim et balot b'shar lashon note. Said, once the Gemara says you can only daven lashon hakodesh, so why do women daven in other languages? Shekevan shchayvot b'tefillah lo haya lehen lit balot lashon hakodesh. They have to daven, so why are they davening in non-Hebrew? According to Rabbeinu Yonah, is Arami only Aramaic or all languages not Hebrew? All languages, because he's not talking about women who know Aramaic and are avid Gemara learners, just don't learn Tanakh and therefore only speak Aramaic and not Biblical Hebrew, right? That is not what he's talking about, I promise you. Okay? Right? He's talking about people who are davening in French and Spanish and whatever, right? Rabbeinu Tzarfat Rotzim latet tam leminhag va'omrim kshiachid mitpalel ha'tfila ba'atzma shemitvalin otah ha'tzibor kemo tfilat ha'tzibor danin en lei v'yachol omra yachid b'lashon acheret. He said, umayit omar Rav Yehuda la'olam ha'yishadim tzarchav b'lashon arami zeh kshirol tzarchav kigonj b'dal ala chole o al shum tzar sheyesh lo b'veito. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? What does tfilat ha'tzibor versus tfilat ha'yachid mean? You catch it? The tefillah that the tzibur would do versus the tefillah that is personal. Meaning, Shmona Esrei can be in
Arabic.
Can be in any language. Your personal tefillah. By the way, I want to point out that so far both Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah are the exact opposite of everything you've ever learned. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah paskins that, right? You know how people sometimes say, well, yeah, Shmona Esrei is one thing, but like if you have something, just turn to God and talk to Him. What does Rabbeinu Yonah say?
No.
Do not, under any circumstances, you have no right to turn to God unless it's Shmona Esrei in a language other than Hebrew. Right? Do not do it. Right? You are drowning. Right? Think in proper grammatical Lashon HaKodesh and say, right? Whatever. Whatever exactly you say. Otherwise, I don't know. Okay? That's what he says. The Rush says as follows, right? Skip down to the Rush. The Rush is possibly 3. And he says, right? He says this is only Aramaic because the Malachim either don't like Aramaic or they don't understand Aramaic or whatever it is. Okay? Now, according to the Rush, he understands the word Arami as meaning only Aramaic. Fundamentally, according to him, if I had to divide it, the Rush, does he put more emphasis on the daven however you want, because it's just about getting your point across to God, having a conversation, or on the, it's a formal petition? Which one does he put it on?
First one.
The first one. And therefore he says, look, it's a technical outlier. The Gonim say the same thing. It's a technical outlier. Aramaic, whatever, the angels don't understand Aramaic, so fine, don't do it in Aramaic. And even Aramaic you could do if you're in Sibor, because, you know, when you're in Sibor, God listens. Right? But for the most part, does the Rush think that you're always allowed to daven in whatever language you want, however you want? Yes. Right? Fundamentally, yes, just not Aramaic. But that means Lemaisa, for most people, including the Rush. Right? Are you allowed to daven in any language you might want to daven in? Yes, because for most of you, I assume that your first language that you would choose, if not Hebrew, was not Aramaic. Right? But for most of you, I think you'd go for Hebrew over Aramaic. I'm just guessing. Not all of you. I'm sure some of you are Buckies and pure Aramaic. I'm sure. But both Rabbeinu... Right? So we have three possibilities. We have the Rif, that it's all languages, and the only thing that can be daven not B'Lashon HaKodesh is, sounds like, Chazar Hashatz. The Rabbeinu Yonah, who says it's Shmona Esrei, because it's the tefillah which is communal, whether or not you're davening with the community, but your personal tefillah, if you dare to go to the king, not in a tefillah that is formalized, then it better be in proper grammatical Lashon HaKodesh. And then the Rosh, who says, nah, you're allowed to daven whenever you want. Right? Just avoid Aramaic, because the Malachim don't like Aramaic, or don't understand Aramaic, or whatever. Okay? How do we paskin? So you look at number 7. That's who? Shulchan. Who's he quoting? First half? The Rif. The Yesh Omrim, the Hani Milik, the Shasol Tzrachav, Kagon Shit Balel Cholal, Shum Tzar, Shulayatol, the Tzvilak, Fuwal, the Tzibor, Afilu Yachid, Nachom, Lom, Rabba Chol Ashon. Possibly two. Shon Esse versus other Tzvilah, which is Rabbeinu Yonah. Or you're always allowed to daven whatever you want, just not Aramaic, which is the Rush. Which one becomes the most popular in Psak?
The Rush.
The Rush. If you want to see how popular this got, look at this. I want you to remember for a moment the Rif, and then watch what Sefer Chassidim does. Quoted in the Magen Avraham. If you don't understand, what should you do? Lashon HaKodesh. Look at Sefer Chassidim that he quotes in number 9. If someone comes to you and he doesn't know Hebrew, and he fears God, he wants kavana, or a woman comes to you, just tell them to daven whatever language they want. It's just about what you understand. If the heart doesn't understand, what comes out of his mouth, what help is it? It's better to daven in the language you understand rather than Hebrew. Right? You understand we've now gone from the gap between the Rif and the Rush plus Magen Avraham Sefer Chassidim is that if we say that the philosophical underpinning of this philosophical sugya, right? Of how much do we require you to learn proper, right, eloquence to speak, and how much we just say, does daven however you understand, right? Which one wins out historically?
Whichever
you understand. What?
Whatever you understand.
For the most part, it's the Rush plus Sefer Chassidim world, right? Which is, no, tefillah is just that you're talking with God, talk however you want, God understands you, He's your Father, right? V'chule, and definitely you follow Chassidut, this is the side that wins. But it wins so much that we forget that there's this other side to tefillah, which is, no, it actually matters what you say and how you say it. Just like it would if you went before someone who was important. Right? Now, let's come back to the Rambam. What I haven't, which until I looked to some, like, Achronim Nidachim, right? I assumed that, I was like, okay, well, the Rambam, right? I was like, no one really realized that the Rambam just goes farther. I think that the Rambam, the answer to the Rambam is that he actually did paskin this Gemara. Except he understood it differently than any of the three positions we've just seen. Here's how he understood the Gemara. What does it mean, Tfilah B'chol Lashon? Let's be careful. What does Tfilah B'chol Lashon mean?
Any more of the 70...
No, no. Somebody means...
Oh, Lashon does not mean language.
No. He means Tfilah pre-Shmona Esrei. The Mishnah was a historical... Right? Everyone else understands that where is the Gemara's conversation happening? Post the institution of Shmona Esrei. How does the Rambam read this Gemara? It's before the Shmon Esrei is established, and it's the explanation for why Shmon Esrei is established. Right? What does he say? Right? Theoretically, Tfilah is B'chol Lashon. As long as you know how to talk in any language except. Think about his history. What changed? Remember, we said according to the Rambam, tefillah was always valuable. It always existed. Which means that what changed with the Korban HaBayit was not that tefillah became valuable. What changed around the time of Korban HaBayit according to the Rambam that made it that that was the period that introduced Shmon Esrei? What does the Rambam pull out of seemingly nowhere in Halacha Dalet?
People were no longer speaking
a coherent language. Any coherent language. Now think how the Rambam reads this. How does he understand Arami? Not any language. How does he understand Arami?
It's one of those
impure languages. He says, you can daven b'chol lashon, but only if you have a pure language. And then with time of Korban HaBayit, what happened? It wasn't that people stopped speaking Hebrew. Because you can speak in it. You can daven any language. What did they stop speaking for the Rambam? They stopped speaking anything properly. The world became a place where all the languages we speak are these, right? They violate the Rambam's sensibilities of what language is supposed to be, meaning pure. None of our languages are pure. How does the Rambam understand? Aval ali pelel b'lashon arami.
That's any impure language.
What? That is any imperfect language. And then b'tzibur, what are you allowed to do? Right? Think about how radical the Rambam is. He's saying, theoretically, you can daven in any language. Right? You can daven b'lashon, right? Well, you can daven maybe b'lashon arami. Well, let's be careful here. Right? What does the Rambam seem to think? Can you daven l'maisa? Are you allowed to daven nowadays in any language other than Hebrew?
No.
Well, so I think that's what he originally thought. Right? Originally, he probably understood it like the Rif. Right? Like in the Perush Mishnayot. But he went farther in Mishneh Torah and said, no, you're not even allowed to do that. Why? Right? Because maybe he came to believe that Arami meant...
Well, then he's going against the Gemara.
No. Yeah, but he thinks that was pre, right?
It's all pre.
Remember we said the Rambam probably believes in a value of tefillah and existence of tefillah before? What's he saying? Right, remember we said a lot of things hang on this. Did Shmon Esrei exist in any form? Pre, The Rambam seems to read this as a rejection, right? That once language, right? You could speak, well, actually, maybe he doesn't say Arami is an impure language. Maybe not. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. It depends what he thinks here. There's two possibilities of what he thinks. One is that he, in the Maskana, rejects this whole halacha and thinks that this is all a pre-Shmon Esrei discussion. But once no one speaks a pure language, you can't ever daven in anything but Lashon HaKodesh. Possibility two is to think that he still believes like the Rif and to mudayik the following. This is what several Akronim point out, which is... If you look three lines in, he says, "Umipnei ze kishahaya echad mehen mitpalel tiktar lishono." When one of them would daven, he would daven short. V'chule. Now, several Chachamim picked up. Why does he say that when an individual would daven, he would daven however he wanted, and now you can't? Because he possibly is like the Rif. He's saying that this is only true for the Rif. Right, it's true like the Rif, meaning that only a Yachid can't do this. Right, Shmon Esrei was made for Yechidim, who, because they don't have a pure language, aren't allowed to daven. Right, so I think there's two ways of reading the Rambam. One is to say he thinks that Arami is an impure language, and the only way to daven it is Bitsibor, and that's why he's Medayek Echad. Right, that's how several Achronim understood him. The other way is to say that no, he really thinks Arami means any language, and he thinks this entire discussion was pre- the institution of Shmon Esrei, right? But the second way of reading it, which I think is more compelling, means that the Rambam is actually a fourth position in the sugya, which is that even b'tzibur, what's the only thing you're allowed to do? Daven with a pure language, which is not Hebrew, right? But if you can't speak properly, then it's got to be Lashon HaKodesh. Right? If you're not good, if you're not eloquent, you don't have a pure language, you can't do anything but Lashon HaKodesh. And if you look, I give you a few achronim here. If you look at the Divrei Yirmiyahu, again, I don't know these people. They're all like on the Bar Ilan. He says, "V'im keni yeshlomo the Rambam b'mishnah mitfila the mechuyav midina val ata shetiknu seder tefila v'lashon hakodesh v'ikar atam v'takarasa mishum hamedabrim lashon agalim v'safim urevet lefi ze ein l'shanot gam alashon." Said the Rambam must have understood the source for the Rambam was the Gemara about Lashon Arami. Right? He doesn't view this as a qualification of what you're allowed to daven in other languages. He views that as a historical statement. Once people started speaking only these Mevulbal languages, you could never speak daven in anything but Lashon HaKodesh. And this is the Rambam capturing that halacha. And that's what the Yad HaMelech says it as well, right? Hinei achilok asher bein kodem takana shmona esrei shetiknu anshei kenes gdolo bein achar ha-takana, right? The difference is before and after the takana. Right, the alternative is what you have in the Maaser Rokeach and the Mishnah Halachot, which is that he paskins like the Rif. Right, is that he's medayik from the language, from the lashon of Yachid. Now, again, what I think hangs on this, and why I think it's important to go through this sugya, is that we are all brought up in the world of the Rush, right? The world of the Sefer Chasidim, where what we were taught since we were little kids is that tefillah is just about God understanding you, say it however you want, understand it however you want, right? But I think, even if that's how we paskin, we have to realize that is, at the very least, the minority position in Rishonim, right? The Rif and Rabbeinu Yonah both reject it, and the Rambam may totally reject it even more extremely, right? And they go on the side of saying, no, how you say things is important. And again, I think philosophically the reason is because part of tefillah is not just, I'm talking to my father, I'm asking what I need. Part of it is, you're going for a king, you're making a formal request. Respect and awe are part of this conversation. And therefore the Rambam, I think, is an extreme where he says, yeah, and if you don't speak a proper language, then I don't care what is going on, you can't daven. Right? Now, even if we don't paskin like that, I want you to realize that's part of tefillah, and it's by no understatement, the majority position in Rishonim. Now, lahalacha, what does that mean? Right? What does that mean? Right, think about the consequences of this. Right? According to the Ishitot, if you one day feel a little bit sick and you say, God, please heal me. Right? According to Rov Rishonim, right? Rov Rishonim, is that Usser or Mutter? Usser. That is Usser. Right? That is usur. You are not allowed to do that. If you, not in the context of Shmoneh Esrei, are going to turn to God, you know what you better do? You better start thinking in biblical Hebrew grammar. Because you're about to talk to the king, and you do not get the right to just turn to him. Now, you'll tell me we don't pass him like we pass him the rush, and I'll tell you, you might be right. But I want you to realize what you've lost. Yes, David.
How do these other Rishonim deal with this standing with HaMelech? They don't really seem to take that into account.
What do you mean the other Rishonim? You mean just the Rush? Right? Everyone else, I can understand everyone else, right? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Even the Rif and the Rabbeinu Yonah, right? The Rif who says only Bitzibor, and Rabbeinu Yonah who says only the Tefillah that Tzibor already says. Like, if you sort of, right, partake of Tefillah at Tzibor, right, meaning you're taking the formal text that Tzibor says and translating another language, that's legitimate. Even if you're not with the Tzibor, but you're saying Shmoneh Esrei in English. That's enough to say, look, I'm not making things up. I'm taking a formal text and I'm translating it. But I'm, right, meaning, you know how like we have formal translations of things, right? You have to do this for like governments, so you have your birth certificate, you have translated, you know. Translation is an act of respect, right? You can do it formally, you can do it with dignity, right? It's not just, right, when you translate things, you translate it verbatim. Right, you don't translate, oh, this is the general gist, right? When you have to get a government document formally translated, you don't go to a translator who says, basically this document says that he was born on, you know, September 5th, 1995 in New York, right? It's this hospital, this time, every line. That's what a translation is, right? It's recognizing the validity, the, I don't know, inherent sanctity of the text, and then just translating it, right?
Yeah. So how does the Rush end?
The Rush, which is one out, the Rush, Sefer Chasidim, look, Sefer Chasidim is pretty clear. Sefer Chasidim says, think about what the Sefer Chasidim said. If someone knows Lashon HaKodesh, but doesn't understand it very well, what does Sefer Chasidim say? Tell him to daven in another language. Because that world, the world of Sefer Chasidim and the Rush, that's one out, right? And went all the way to the other extreme, right? But there's a cost here. Now, this was all true until, in 5 minutes I'm going to try to get my main points across here, okay? This was all true until the Reform Movement. Then the Reform Movement came and said, we have a great idea. Let us daven in
German.
And the Chasam Sofer flipped, right? As he normally did with the Reform. And what did Chasam Sofer say? He came up with a radical chiddush, and he said, you cannot do that. And it says in the Gemara, you're allowed to daven in another language. It says in the Mishnah, he says, that's only be'akrai, but not be'kvi'ut. That's only once in a while. But you can't make a lifestyle of that. Because if someone doesn't understand Lashon HaKodesh, you know what we tell them? Go learn Lashon HaKodesh. While you're learning Lashon HaKodesh, you want to daven in English? Fine. But you can't change tefillah to another language. Now, this sort of won the day. This Chasam Sofer. But is the Chasam Sofer a chiddush? Really? Okay, is it a fair read of the Sefer Chasidim? Which is Nifsak and the Magen Avraham? Meaning when the Reform said to him, we have very firm basis in Shulchan Aruch and Nosei Kelim. Are they right? At first glance, they are right. Except, right? And this I found fascinating. At some level, what is the Chasam Sofer really? What is the Chasam Sofer doing? Chasam Sofer is, at a certain level, bringing the Melech standard back in. Right? Which is, listen, I understand that technically you're allowed to daven in any language, but you know what? That's only if it's one-off. But if you're going to make a lifestyle of it, you know what your job in life is to do? Is to understand the language of the king. Right? Once in a while, I get it. Right? You can daven like that, but to do that all the time, now he also has all the other problems, right? The Kabbalistic problems. You miss all the kavana, you miss all the right magic of the letters, etc., etc. And I found really wild, if you can read this yourself in 22, I found in the Reform Jewish Quarterly a review, a historical piece summarizing the history of the machloket between the Reform and the Chasam Sofer. Now, what was crazy here was that this person, Mark Wachowski, right, whatever, can read it yourself, in his comments on the Chasam Sofer and against the Reform. Now remember, he's writing the Reform Movement. He says that he thinks that the Reform Movement was right on technical halachic grounds because of Magen Avraham, the Rush, whatever. But the Chasam Sofer is a better read philosophically of the Rambam that we just read. Because this is wild. Right? He says that the Chasam Sofer he thinks is essentially philosophically in line with the Rambam. Because what's he really saying? He's saying that the reason Chazal introduced tefillah was because people couldn't speak properly and they wanted you to speak proper Lashon HaKodesh. And even if technically you can justify davening individual tefillah in another language, right, the Rambam provides a narrative history, a philosophical background to how tefillah came into being. And what is his background? That ideally you're supposed to speak in Lashon HaKodesh, you're supposed to strive towards learning proper language, not just proper language, but ideally, right, once you're going to proper language, that language should be Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore he says, he actually pushes back against Reform and says, maybe they had a technical argument, but it was myopic, because it missed the philosophical, historical background of tefillah, and the Chasam Sofer is essentially, without realizing it, the Chasam Sofer actually quotes the Rambam. He says on a narrative level, a philosophical level, the Rambam, the Chassam Sofer is capturing what should emerge from the Rambam, is that even if you have local kulos, your ideal should always be to strive to a shul where you're not dumbing down the language for the people, but where people are recognizing they need to strive for eloquence because they're talking to God. And therefore he argues that actually the Chassam Sofer is, ironically, a fair way of bringing the Rambam back into a halachic conversation, and therefore he ends up agreeing with the Chassam Sofer against reform in this reform journal, which totally baffled me completely, but I think he's actually, I don't want to say halachically right, right? Because even if we paskin like the Rush, I would put it differently. That the Rambam and the Rush and Rabbeinu Yonah, as David White pointed out before, represents another element that is completely lost. And the Chassam Sofer's insistence that it's only Ba'akrai is his way of saying, even if you accept that tefillah can be, in the end of the day, God will listen to you. You know, he's a parent. You're drowning? Yeah, daven in English. Don't bother thinking proper grammar. You can't make a lifestyle of it. You can't make a lifestyle of tefillah where you think God has to come down to your level and you don't have requirements, that you aren't coming before the Melech and you need to push yourself. If you miss that, you're missing a fundamental part of tefillah. Okay, what we'll do next week, I'm going to finish this off, is just point out that this idea of the importance of how you say things, I think, integrates into our tefillot. And now we'll actually move to Perashat Tefillah, because I think that these philosophical ideas aren't just philosophical and in this halachic sugya, but if you think about how we start tefillah, how do we start Shmoneh Esrei? With a request that God open how we talk, right? The notion that how we talk is important. Not just what we mean in our hearts, but how we talk, actually is how we start Shmoneh Esrei. So next week I want to bring these ideas, maybe finish it off, and bring it to Hashem Svatai Tiftach, and also since we're going to Yom Ha'Naraim, right, to a famous piyut that is had become a very popular song around Yom Ha'Naraim, which is Ochila La'el, right? Right, quoting a pasuk of Mishlei, La'adam Marche Lev, V'Hashem Maneh Lashon, right? And we'll come to both of these, so that we'll get a little bit of Yamin HaRatim Tfilin, a little bit of actually Perish HaTfilin, but I want this halachic philosophical background to how we actually start our tefillah every day. Right? The actual Shmoneh Esrei, which is a request, not for our request, a request for eloquence. Okay? Just go ahead.